It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, blocked on Capitol Hill.
The State Department refused to allow him to testify today.
That is our top story at noon. The U.S. ambassador to the European Union was supposed to testify behind closed doors today as House Democrats continue their impeachment probe. Gordon Sondland arrived in Washington from Brussels this morning when he found out the Trump administration wouldn't let him speak. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
The failure to produce this witness, we consider yet additional strong evidence of obstruction of the constitutional functions of Congress.
But Ohio Republican Jim Jordan says Democrats are cherry-picking comments from testimonies in order to build their case for impeachment.
You think about what the Democrats are trying to do. Impeach the President of the United States 13 months prior to an election based on an anonymous whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge who has a bias against the President.
President Trump calling Democratic efforts to impeach him a kangaroo court. He spoke just moments ago from the White House.
It's just a scam. This is a scam by the Democrats to try and win an election that they're not going to win in 2020.
New York Republican Representative Lee Zeldin accusing Democrats of putting on a clown show. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham, meantime, wants President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee to share his concerns about Ukraine corruption claims against Joe and Hunter Biden. Bad bounce for the NBA. That is the other big story at noon. The National Basketball Association working overtime to patch things up with China after a tweet from the general manager of the Houston Rockets expressed support for the protesters in Hong Kong. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says he won't apologize for the tweet, but he is apologetic for the outcome and reaction.
It's my hope that for our Chinese fans and our partners in China, they will see those remarks in the context of now a three-decade, if not longer, relationship.
Rockets GM Daryl Morey kicked up the firestorm after sending a tweet in support of the pro-democracy demonstrators in Hong Kong. Adam Silver says he supports Morey's decision to speak up.
There are these values that are deeply rooted in the DNA of the NBA, and that includes freedom of expression for our employees.
Rockets superstar James Harden tried to throw water on the controversy, saying the league loves China.
We appreciate the support that they give us individually and as an organization. So, you know, we love you.
China firing back today, announcing it's severing ties with the Houston Rockets sports analyst Bill Ryder.
When the Chinese government is offended, they will use their considerable financial might, and they're going to continue to do that to the Rockets. They're going to isolate them.
The communist nation also says it's going to block broadcasts of preseason NBA games, which start there this week. The U.S. Supreme Court hearing oral arguments today in three cases having to do with workplace rights for the LGBTQ community. At issue, whether employers have the right to fire people on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. Robin Morrill is with the Human Rights Campaign.
It might be the most important Supreme Court case that will impact the LGBTQ community.
The justices must decide whether the word sex used in the 1964 Civil Rights Act includes sexual orientation and gender identity. Attorney John Bursch says misrepresenting the word sex would set a dangerous precedent.
It can hurt women and girls in athletics. It can impact people in their bodily privacy spaces.
Bursch is arguing before the High Court today on behalf of a century-old Detroit funeral home which fired a transgender worker for violating their dress code. The justices will issue a decision next June. President Trump defending his decision to pull all U.S. troops out of northern Syria.
It's supposed to be in and out. That was many, many years ago, and we only have 50 people in that area. That's a small sector, and I don't want those 50 people
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the latest Republican to come out against the president's decision. Correspondent Weijia Jiang.
Some of the president's staunchest Republican allies in Congress wasted no time condemning his decision. Pat Toomey called it a threat to our national security. Liz Cheney described it as a catastrophic mistake. And Lindsey Graham said it's a shot in the arm to the bad guys, devastating for the good guys.
That's Weijia Jiang reporting. Vapers won't be able to buy their e-cigs at Kroger's or Walgreens anymore. Drugstore spokesman Phil Caruso.
This decision is also reflective of developing regulations in a growing number of states.
At least 22 deaths in the U.S. now linked to vaping. The judge who hugged former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger and gave her a Bible after she was sentenced to 10 years in prison for murdering her neighbor, now speaking out about her decision.
As a Christian, I believe I'm commanded to offer her love and compassion.
Dallas County District Judge Tammy Kemp is black and has come under fire for the compassion she showed to Amber Geiger, the white former police officer who claims the murder was a case of mistaken identity. Ellen DeGeneres says she puts people above politics. The television star taking some heat on social media today for sitting next to former President Bush at Sunday's Cowboys-Packers game.
But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone. Doesn't matter.
The gay fans complain that Ellen shouldn't be friends with a president they think discriminated against them. Still to come this Tuesday, bad bacteria in Pennsylvania, hepatitis A in Buffalo, and the manhunt continues in Shippensburg.
Good afternoon. A very quiet weather pattern is ahead, and for most of us, this means lots of sunshine in the days ahead. I'll be back with forecast details coming up shortly.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, October 8th, Erie County, New York health officials say a case of hepatitis A has been found in a restaurant worker in Buffalo. Officials say the infected employee works at Ang's Family Restaurant on Clinton Street. The experts advising anyone who's eaten there between Tuesday, September 24th and Friday, September 27th to get vaccinated. A vaccine clinic will take place tomorrow from 7:30 in the morning till 10 a.m. That clinic taking place right at Ang's Family Restaurant in Buffalo. A Pennsylvania hospital is transferring some infants following a bacterial infection in its neonatal intensive care unit. The illness affected 8 newborns, 3 of whom have died.
This is our obligation. This is our responsibility. We owe this to our community, to our families, and most importantly, to the children we care for.
Dr. Frank Muffet is the chair of pediatrics at Geisinger Medical Center in Danville, Pennsylvania, says 4 of the babies have recovered, 1 still being treated with antibiotics. All of the babies were born premature.
It does not affect any mom who is delivering a child over 32 weeks gestation. This is critically important.
That's Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rosemary Leeming. Dr. Mark Shelley is Director of Infection Prevention and Control at Geisinger Medical Center.
It's really too soon to say exactly where the organism is coming from, the information that we have so far suggests that it's someplace outside of the neonatal intensive care unit.
And Dr. Shelley says the hospital is working with state and federal authorities to make sure the waterborne bacterial infection has been eradicated. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has appointed a new judge to oversee former Penn State football coach Jerry Sandusky's resentencing case. Judge Maureen Skirta will take over after Judge John Foradora recused himself. Sandusky currently serving 30 to 60 years behind bars for abusing 10 boys. Last February, an appeals court ruled that mandatory minimums were improperly applied in the ex-coach's case. A new poll shows most New York school boards support pushing back the start of the school day.
Yeah, according to a recent survey from the New York State School Boards Association, 59% of school board members like the idea of delaying the start of the high school day. It often begins before 8 a.m. Over half of the board members polled said that sleep deprivation was a significant problem for students in their districts. Only 15% of teens are getting the recommended 8.5 hours of sleep on school nights. School sporting events were cited as the biggest obstacle to moving back the start of the school day. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. The folks who run the ACT College Entrance Exam say starting next fall, students who don't like their scores can retake individual sections of the test instead of retaking the entire thing. Raising pay in PA.
Yeah, Governor Wolf promoted his proposal to raise the minimum wage in Pennsylvania on his Facebook and Twitter pages today. The posts have already sparked a huge response with hundreds of comments and shares. In the post, Wolf shows a plan to raise the wage to $12 an hour and increase it by 50 cents each year. The last time the Commonwealth upped its minimum wage was in 2009. The Democrat says, quote, "It's time to raise the wage." Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Classes resumed today at Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania's police continued their search for two students suspected in a shooting near campus that left one man dead, another critically wounded. Authorities looking for 20-year-olds Clayton Wilson and Quentin Furlow, both of Philadelphia. The victims also from Philly, but did not attend school there at Shippensburg. The Pennsylvania Department of State says 76% of the Commonwealth has taken steps towards upgrading their voting systems. Family Life's Terry Diener.
So far, 51 of the Commonwealth's 67 counties, including the three most populous, Philadelphia, Allegheny, and Montgomery, have voted to either buy or lease a new voting system or have approved funding for such a system. And 46 counties, or 68%, plan to use their new voting systems in the November 5th election. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. This week, Fire Prevention Week all across New York and Pennsylvania. First responders use the educational campaign to alert homeowners about fire dangers they might not be aware of and how to protect themselves.
We want to get out the message of close before you doze, a message that a lot of people maybe haven't heard before during Fire Prevention Week.
Firefighter Steve Kerber says close before you doze means this. Before you go to sleep, make sure you close your bedroom door.
If you're trapped and you cannot get out, it provides that time to keep you alive for the fire department to get there and rescue you.
Kerber says it takes less than 2 minutes for a home to be fully engulfed in flames. That's why smoke detectors are a must.
You want to make sure that you get smoke detectors, make sure that you're putting them on every floor, in addition to the rooms that you sleep in.
And Kerber says make sure you go over an escape route with your family in your home. It might very well save your life someday. Wasn't even a game last night. Monday Night Football blowout. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Well, you know it's going to be a long night for the Cleveland Browns. They're on the San Francisco Giants 6-yard line, ready to score a touchdown, but...
And it is intercepted! Off the deflection!
Ball bounced in the air. Interception. The Niners run all over the Browns. 31-3. Baker Mayfield said that that goal line interception was the game.
If that could have been points for us, and then yeah, you take it away and it... They drive down the field. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's a little detail.
Mayfield took 4 sacks through 2 interceptions and a fumble for Cleveland, who falls to 2-3. The Niners, 4-0 on the year. Brooms out in Minneapolis. Yankees headed to the American League Championship Series. Finished off a 3-game sweep of the Twins with a 5-1 win in Game 3. By the way, Yankees handed the Twins their record 16th consecutive playoff loss dating back to 2004. Luis Severino on how they won.
The mix of everything, you know. Pitching and defense.
How long will Twins manager Rocco Baldelli think about this sweep?
I'd say forever. I'd say I'll think about it forever.
The Yankees waiting for the winners between the Rays and the Astros. Rays stay alive with a 10-3 rout of the Astros in Game 3. Game 4 today in St. Pete. Astros with a 2-1 series lead. National League, both series heading to 5. The Nats beat the Dodgers 6-1 to force a winner-take-all Game 5 in the National League Division Series. Max Scherzer worked out of a bases-loaded jam in the 7th, allowing just 4 hits and 1 run in 7 frames for the win. The Dodgers hosting that deciding Game 5 5 tomorrow. Cardinals and Braves heading to a decisive Game 5. Yadier Molina tied the game in the 8th, then in the bottom of the 10th.
Oh, no chance! And the Cardinals have won Game 4!
Cardinals win 5-4. Atlanta hosting Game 5 tomorrow. On the ice in Columbus, tied at 3 in overtime.
Texier scores! Jackets win in overtime!
Blue Jackets beat the Sabres 4-3. Toronto falls to St. Louis 3-2. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Tuesday, big case at the high court, testimony blocked in Washington, and Operation Gratitude. Meet today's hometown hero.
In this culture, parents can't hope things will go unnoticed. Pointing out cultural lies, even those in your neighbor's toy box, is now part of our job. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Wise parents try to keep their kids from being influenced by the lies in our culture. That often means not taking them to certain movies, not letting them watch certain shows or play certain games or listen to certain music. Still, there comes a point when the world around us is so saturated with false messages that ignoring them and hoping they'll go away is not only impossible, it's perilous. A number of recent stories drives this point home. This week, reports surfaced that Disney plans to out the lead character in its enormously popular Frozen movies as lesbian. Now, I'm not the kind of guy who spends time browsing Disney princess rumor websites, but if it does happen, and let's get real, something like this is inevitable, anyone with a daughter knows it'll be impossible to keep her from finding out. She's going to hear about it, even if she's never allowed to see the movie. Now, what's the dangerous thing to do here? Ignoring it and just hoping she won't notice. Here's another thing that many hope to ignore, the redefinition of words. Last month, America's Oldest Dictionary announced it's now acceptable English to use the plural pronoun they as a gender-neutral singular pronoun, as in, Bill told me they doesn't identify as male or female. Now, if you think changes to language aren't that big of a deal, you need to reread 1984. And last but not least, Barbie maker Mattel has introduced a new line of gender-neutral dolls, complete with androgynous bodies and faces, plus mix and match hair and clothes. Oh, for the days when the only kid swapping toy parts was Sid from Toy Story. As one senior vice president of Mattel explained, this new doll line is designed to keep labels out and invite everyone in, because apparently, quote, kids don't want their toys dictated by gender norms. Now, I got to wonder who did Mattel's market research. As I predicted last weekend on our Breakpoint This Week podcast, anyone with sons knows just how quickly these non-gendered toys will be gendered. The boys will send them into combat against supervillains and space aliens, and the girls will turn them into families. One of my colleagues recently wrote a column describing how his daughter tucks her brother's toy trucks into bed. Children have to be talked out of what they innately know about gender identity. And make no mistake, the companies behind these toys, dictionaries, and movies are doing an awful lot of talking. Perhaps a better way to describe it is as catechesis, the constant repetition of lies through everyday cultural artifacts like movies, language, even toys, has now reached a religious pitch. We may hope our kids won't notice Elsa has a girlfriend, or that Barbie isn't gendered, or that pronouns are being used in bizarre new ways. But that's the problem. If they don't notice, it might be because these wrong ideas seem just quite normal to them. You see, culture's most powerful not where it's loud and in your face, but where it's quiet and assuming. We've experienced these shifts in our culture, but our kids haven't. So the abnormal becomes normal without any arguments ever being made. The right response to the cultural catechism all around us is a catechism of our own. Teach them the truths of the faith, including God's design for male and female, with the same dedication and the same persistence, and hopefully before the culture does in teaching lies. Instead of ignoring the stuff in movies, commercials, television, and music and hoping it goes over their heads, take the time to point it out. Discuss it with your son or daughter in an age-appropriate way. Help them understand that they're being sold more than toys and more than entertainment. They're being sold a false worldview. And the best defense against a false worldview is to notice it and to expose it for what it really is. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, let's take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we've got a storm system off the Atlantic coast. It's going to bring a lot of wind and wave action to the Atlantic seaboard and some cloud cover at times in eastern Pennsylvania, the eastern southern tier of New York. Another storm out west that's going to deliver a big change in the Rockies from summer heat to snow. But for most of us, high pressure in between spells a serene weather pattern filled with sunshine. The call for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine for most, although there will be some middle and high cloud cover at times in eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures in the lower 60s tonight, mostly moonlit. Again, local fog overnight, the low temps 40s for most. Then tomorrow and Thursday for most, plenty of sunshine, but a little more cloud cover at times across eastern Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York. High temperatures mid-50s to the middle 60s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here's some of the stories we're following for you today. Tuesday, October 8th, the State Department blocking a key figure in the Ukraine scandal from testifying in Congress. Ambassador Gordon Sondland was scheduled to go behind closed doors with Democrats on Capitol Hill. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
The President and Secretary of State are taking actions that prevent us from getting the facts needed to protect the nation's security.
But Republicans accuse Democrats of cherry-picking testimonies in order to build their case for impeachment.
When the full text of Ambassador Volker's testimony last week would have exonerated this president, let's release it. I'm all for bringing the ambassador in, but let's only do so after we release the full.
A North Carolina Republican Mark Meadows, President Trump calling the impeachment inquiry a kangaroo court. The U.S. Supreme Court hearing oral arguments today in a case that could decide the future employment of millions of Americans.
Here, the court will decide whether Title VII of the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964, which protects people on the job from discrimination on the basis of sex, and that's long been thought to be male or female, also applies to sexual orientation and gender identity.
That's Jan Crawford at the High Court this afternoon. President Trump defending his decision to pull troops out of northern Syria ahead of a Turkish invasion. The commander-in-chief has taken criticism from both sides of the political aisle.
I respect both opinions. The problem with the other opinion is, when do we leave? When do we leave? We're going to stay there forever? We want to bring our troops back home. And I got elected on that.
The critics say pulling out of northern Syria puts America's Kurdish allies at risk. It sends a bad message to the rest of the world.
The American handshake doesn't matter. You know, we have Rangers on the ground. We have Green Berets on the ground that have been fighting alongside these forces for years, that have been making promises to these forces that if you fight with us, we will take care of you and your families.
Colorado Democrat Jason Crow, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey was inbounds when he tweeted support for pro-democracy demonstrators in Hong Kong.
I'm sympathetic to our interests here and our partners who are upset. And I don't think it's inconsistent on one hand to be sympathetic to them and at the same time stand by our principles.
China has blocked broadcasts of NBA preseason games that start there later this week. A hospital in Danville, Pennsylvania, trying to figure out the source of a waterborne germ that's infected 8 infants in the neonatal intensive care unit. 3 infants have died. Dr. Mark Shelley on the case.
We made sure that we increased the chlorination of the water. We've put some special filters on the taps. We have done extra cleaning, even though we didn't find the organism on the surfaces.
Dr. Shelley says he believes the source of the bacteria came from outside the intensive care unit at the Geisinger Medical Center in Danville, PA. Some big changes coming for one of the major college entrance exams.
Starting next September, students dissatisfied with one of their 4 ACT scores will be allowed to retake the section in question without having to repeat the entire 3-hour exam. In another significant shift, the ACT plans to offer online testing for students who take the exam on Saturdays, enabling them to get their scores in as little as 2 business days. That's compared with the 3-week wait for the paper and pencil version.
That's Vicki Barker reporting. We are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, and you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Tina Nail from Shamokin Dam, Pennsylvania. She's helping to put together care packages for the troops overseas. Let's listen in. For our listeners who aren't familiar with what Operation Gratitude is all about. What is it, Tina?
Operation Gratitude is an organization that was started 16 years ago after 9/11. The founder, Carolyn Bleszczyk, wanted to enlist in the military, but she was too old. And so she started volunteering at a soldier lounge at LAX. And one day she was there and she encountered a soldier who asked for a chaplain. And she said, you know, there's nobody there, but I'll find you one. He says, no. He says, that's fine. He said, for the first time in my life, I'm going back to war. I'm not coming home and nobody will care. And that's the short story of it. And that just profoundly, you know, touched her. And she said, I have to do more. So that is how Operation Gratitude got started.
Yeah. So I'm curious to know how you got involved.
I come from a military family. My aunt, my uncles, my brothers, my cousins, my dad have all been served in the military or are currently serving. And again, I wasn't able to serve. So I've always tried to find ways to help support our military. And last fall, I sent out an email blast on Veterans Day saying, hey, thank you isn't enough. And I recommended people volunteer and whatnot. And, you know, I've always kind of tried to do, when something falls in my lap, I would do things to support the military. If I encountered somebody, a soldier in a restaurant, I'd pay for their meal or, you know, little things.
Mm-hmm.
I came across the email again a few weeks ago, and I decided that what I'm doing isn't enough. So I came across Operation Gratitude and started writing a couple of letters to deployed service personnel. And, you know, although, you know, I thought, you know, hey, I'm touching one or two, it just still didn't feel like enough.
Yeah.
So I wanted to put together a care package. And I'm thinking, well, gee, my little care package just isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided to kind of broadcast what I was doing to chamber members, my friends, the people that I'm connected to through my business, and, you know, see if we couldn't get some more support.
So what sort of things are you looking to collect?
Operation Gratitude has, I mean, they collect a whole variety of things, anything from handmade ties and knitted crochets and hats. So I can collect those. But in general, I'm thinking if people could go to the dollar store, they could make a big impact and spend very little money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30 packs or less of, you know, hand wipes, sanitized wipes, batteries, travel size deodorants, individual drink mixes, gum, you know, there's a whole list of things that you can find on their website, puzzle books, playing cards, you know, things
sure.
that'll just make them feel a little less, you know, occupy their minds and feel a little more comfortable where they're at.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Tina Nail with Operation Gratitude. She's from Shamokin Dam, Pennsylvania. And so all of this stuff you collect goes to the troops in Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Deployed throughout the Middle East.
Well, we can't say enough about our servicemen and women overseas. And as you mentioned, just saying thank you wasn't enough for you. You came from a military family, you said, and this is your way of contributing. But in the short while you've been with Operation Gratitude, has it changed your outlook on life?
It has. I mean, the response that I'm getting from some of my friends and family, it's made me realize that I think more people wish there was more that they could do and don't realize that there are things they can do to support our troops. And also, I think I'm realizing that people feel that by supporting our troops, they may be supporting the war, the cause. And this has given me a platform to tell them that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, you don't have to agree with why we're there. We just need to know that that's somebody's husband, father, son, wife, mother, and the sacrifice that they're making.
That's Tina Nail from Shamokin Dam, Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. The big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we've got a storm system off the Atlantic coast. It's going to bring a lot of wind and wave action to the Atlantic seaboard and some cloud cover at times in eastern Pennsylvania, the eastern southern tier of New York. Another storm out west that's going to deliver a big change in the Rockies from summer heat to snow. But for most of us, high pressure in between spells a serene weather pattern filled with sunshine. The call for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine for most, although there will be some middle and high cloud cover at times in eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures in the lower 60s tonight, mostly moonlit. Again, local fog overnight, the low temps 40s for most. Then tomorrow and Thursday for most, plenty of sunshine, but a little more cloud cover at times across eastern Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York. High temperatures mid-50s to the middle 60s.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, the weather experts predicting this coming winter could hit New York and Pennsylvania especially hard. Here's correspondent Lisa G.
Get out the long johns and down jackets. The upcoming winter is going to be on the cruel side, complete with cold temperatures and lots of snow. Forecasters say we're going to have snowstorms and ice storms with a touch of winter coming in December. But then the real brunt of old man winter comes out in full force after the new year, with the biggest chill coming at the end of January. In addition, above normal snowfall could be in store. Lisa G., New York.
Lisa G., I hope you're wrong. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.